ACB Live Happy Hour. I'm so excited, honored, and feel immensely privileged today to bring you one of the most incredible tycoon, friend, phenomenal entrepreneur, and fabulous man all the way from India. He's a Maharaja. He is one of the most amazing entrepreneurs in India, and he ventured to go into the world of wine. We had the pleasure to meet many years ago. It was love and friendship at first sight, what you call a coup de foudre in French. We became friends, and Kapil had set up an incredible winery of over 200 hectares in India, one of the best and finest wine made ever, as a partnership between some great Italian people and himself. He became one of the most well-known wine man in India. Very fortunately, Kapil, as we stroke an incredible friendship, said one day, let's create a wine together. Let's change the landscape of India. Together, a few years ago, we embarked, as you could see today, I'm wearing one of the most noble, beautiful suit from India that Kapil so kindly offered me, adorned with our jewelry, to be part of the Indian luxury vision of producing the finest wines in India. So, dear friends, today is a very unique day, and I'm thrilled, honored again, and excited to bring you the culture of India to America and around the world. Kapil, are you with us?
Yes.
Of course. Bonjour, Kapil.
How are you?
Well, we're so excited to have you with us, Kapil. You
excited look to be here. Excited to be.
So, Kapil, we got to celebrate with one of our most amazing wine. This is JCB number 47. And I'm going slowly because I want all our guests to listen to the beautiful sound of India. And it reached today, Patrick and Dylan as a ricochet, and Dylan swallowed the cork because he believes in what India represents. Woo! I love that sound. So Kapil, how is it in India? It's so exciting to visit. Cheers.
Cheers, cheers.
So what's happening in India today? I could see the beautiful sunshine outside. And how is the situation evolving?
Well, I think it's not the best situation, but I think we are positive because I think Indians are taking it resiliently. The recovery rates are high. So it's getting back to normal. I think it's people are just trying to face it, you know, trying to dodge it. So hopefully it should be okay. I think two more months and, you know, should be behind us. All good.
And you know, dear friends, what I love the most, not only Kapil, his beautiful wife, Pooja, and his family, always this phenomenal positiveness. Life is always greater in the future. So Kapil, tell us what it is to be raised in India with such great siblings and being now in the wine world.
Well, I think the wine world is new to India. Forget to our family. And being in even a consumer business is new in the family. But growing up was very different. Growing up was 21 people, one house, one kitchen, you know, like you know the story. So, you know, always heard the stories. I haven't seen them. Thank God I've not witnessed them. But, you know, grandfather, great-grandfather coming from the Pakistan side of India during independence. But every year was better, John Charles. Our generation has only seen positivity. So every year was better than the last. So we have nothing to complain. I think we just have to remember our past, respect the past, live the present, but be prepared for the future. I think that's what our generation needs to do.
Well, I think this is an amazing philosophy. And guess what? You know, to live the present and the future, honoring the past, we created together a wine.
Absolutely.
So tell all of us about it, because it has a very captivating number.
Well, the number was, you know, like you said, I think it's going on the same philosophy we discussed that, you know, India has to give many surprises to the world. You know, I think We are known for many things, but I think we are unknown for too many things. And I think it's about time we try to change that. And one was that when we started together was that, you know, trying to create a wine which can surprise the most discerning clientele. And that's when we, you know, started working on this lovely Bubbles of ours, which is 100% Chardonnay, you know, and thanks to your inputs and, you know, the way we worked on it. But when we produced it, it was just something so unique and something which we all knew that will be different, will be standing on its own legs in you know, showcasing among the champions of the world. So we could not call it but number 47, which is the year of India's independence. So in our own connotation, it's like here we believe now economic independence, which is like, you know, showcasing India on the world stage. That's how the number 47 came about. So that's JCB number 47 for everybody.
And you know, we're all enjoying it, and I say namaste, because this is an unbelievable wine, and Leanne is with us, as you know, who's been at the origin of this amazing journey together. And I need to tell all our friends that I did not have the intention going to India to visit our friend Kapil, who became a friend immediately, instantaneously, to actually create a joint venture and a wine in India. It was really our passion and the excitement of what Kapil had started that really made us wanted to make a difference together. So Kapil, is sparkling wine very well known in India at this stage?
Sparkling wine is one of the most recognized categories, because what it does, sparkling, it's like you're right, since Indians love to celebrate the positivity, which you said, it's that future is good, future is ahead, you know, embrace it, don't try to hide from it. So a celebratory bubbles, you know, just fits in very nicely. So even I remember even during my, you know, like when we were growing up, and so even my, you know, we are a spirit drinking country, as we all know, you know, the highest amount of brown spirits in the world is India. I think all the, you know, the liquor companies are surviving on based on India consumption. But in all the celebrations, like anniversaries, birthdays, popping up a bubble was becoming kind of a, you know, kind of a ritual. So I think sparkling wine, bubbles, bubbly, you know, so many different connotations being given in India now, is really a road for people to open a beautiful world of wine, you know, to everybody. But this is the enter into the world of wine through bubbles.
And I love the fact that this is 100% Chardonnay. You know, for everyone who will soon enjoy a bottle of JCB 47, this is all about the passionate, united, and of course, liberated. You know, there's three words behind every JCB bottles, is because we're really honoring the past. We're really grateful of India taking its independence in 47 and really becoming this amazing nation. I mean, aren't you proud about this amazing evolution of India, Kapil?
Oh, I am. Honestly, I think proud of everything that, you know, God's got us. When we started, it was a very different, very humble venture. We just wanted to create something, try different things. Ignorance is bliss. You know, so we just said, well, since there was no knowledge and at that time, we just said, let's try everything, you know, because we don't have, you know, when I always believe that if you're not 100% certain that it's not going to work, you should try it, because that 1% certainty is what brings you luck. So that's the mantra I live by, you know, that till the time you're 100% sure that it's not going to work, you should try it. You know, what's the harm? You never live with regrets.
I think
that's our philosophy.
Kapil, that's a wise word, as you're a very wise man. You know, when you 1%, you go for it. And how did you get the idea? Why wine? Was it on a trip to Europe or US or what happened?
I think, no, it was not just one thing, Joshua. I love the product because I think, you know, we've discussed enough. And for me, so living in UK, living in London, I was not a pub going boy. You know, I never liked guzzling beers. You know, I was not into, you know, drinking alcohol or something. But what I loved about wine is on my trips to Europe for work is that I loved the whole experience of drinking wine. That you decide on exactly if you buy it or not after trying it on the table. I think that's what got me. That it's an art for your senses. You know, you get to taste and then you get to decide that whether it's lived up to the expectations. So wine bottles got a lot of pressure. Each and every bottle has to speak to you. Otherwise, it goes back. You know, yeah. And everybody's going to frown upon it. So it's a living product, it's a living bottle. So just imagine, and I love that fact. So that's what got me into drinking wine. And for India, I think it's for me, it was a no-brainer because I believe that when people see wine, you know, they You know, they see a good experience, enjoyment, everything. But what I also see with that, what it brings is barren land into cultivation. India is among the largest amount of barren land, which is not a great statistics. It brings women employment, which we love the fact, you know, all about women empowerment. So for me, it was a lot of those things. And of course, it's a great business to be patiently invested. So it was passion. It was all the things good, you know, going together.
But that's quite amazing, because for you, and I think our JCB Live moments are always great because they're sometimes full of wisdom and full of knowledge and full of education. And I think people have so much to learn from you in many ways. One, your outlook on life, your great vision as a family, and then an amazing entrepreneur as a businessman. So how was it for you, Kapil, to move from the industries you're involved in, and you're still involved in so many, to suddenly putting your hands in the terroir, in the soil, and really planting vineyards, importing rootstocks from Europe, and getting started? How was that emotionally, and how did that adrenaline inside of you push you to do what you did?
I think it was culmination of years and years of, you know, feelings. You know, like I started working when I was in UK after finishing my college. And it was this feeling of that, you know, that we as a generation, like I was saying, that we have just only heard about the hardships. We've never seen those hardships. We just saw every year get better. But in UK, when we were there, you know, we accept the food. I think that's the only thing we were respected for. Everything else about India, you know, I'm talking in early 90s, was, you know, it's Indian. You know, it was like, it's Indian, you know, with a little of a...
More than just the food we respect about India. You know, yeah. I feel talking to you already very centered. I think you've realigned my chakras without knowing it.
So it was just like a lot of that things. And I think it was the feeling of, like you're saying, fire, that, okay, we have been educated globally. You know, we know what goes on. And I think, which is, you know, and I was very enamored with, you know, also the early 19th century onwards, the entrepreneurs in America, in Europe, that how they built, you know, pioneering projects, trying different things. So, you know, with a simple thing that I could not shy away from the fact that we had a privileged background, but it was about to do something about it. Either you just, you know, go with the flow, or you try to change the flow. So for me, the wine and the vineyards was that, you know, let me try and make a mark or leave a mark, you know, good, bad or ugly, but let's leave a mark and try it. You know, so that's how we got in the ring.
Now, to move away, to become a little more spiritual for a moment, before we go and try one of the genuine Chardonnay and Sauvignon Blanc blend, you have an incredible painting and you have an insane art collection, from sculptures to paintings to all kinds of art in your home where you are. And I could see you in the dining room now. You have a symbol behind you that is very powerful. Two symbols, in fact. You have a religious figure, of course, with a light going through it. And then you have an amazing painting which represents the symbol of India, which is, of course, one of your great gifts that you offered me for my birthday, which is the cow. So would you talk about the meaning of this and what it represents to you as well?
Sure. So, you know, I think the spirituality or the road to, I think, enlightenment, I think that's a better word, which is your inner peace and inner wisdom. I think honesty came to me after the wine business, because I'm being very, very candid on the live chat here, that what got me into the wine business was my confidence. Was like, you know, at the early age of mid-30s, you think you can change the world. So, you know, we just got so, you know, completely boxed in that we're going to do everything the best. We're going to import the best plants from France, Thio, the nursery, your friend. So all the plants came from him. You know, we are not going to leave anything, any stone unturned. You have to give a world-class product. And then we made the product. And we were arrogant, because our product we knew was great. You know, when we were making tastings and everything, people were saying, wow, we've never tasted wine like this from India. So we thought, well, you know, we should be able to sell it on its own, because it's such a great product. So actually my journey of, you know, getting into inner peace was when we started actually tasting failure, that even having such a great product in the initial years of Fratelli, why people weren't flogging and buying them? Why weren't distributors coming to buy us? Why weren't customers respecting us? Why were they still okay buying, you know, whatever little wine they were used to drinking? And I think that's what made me humble, you know, John Saul, I'll be very honest. That's what made me look inside. That, okay, what is it that, you know, what have we done wrong? What did we do? What was our intentions wrong? Because we have a great product, we've done everything what everybody said should be done. But why is it not a runaway success? So I think literally, like, you know, and I remember that, you know, coming days, you know, Pooja used to literally see me, you know, like literally completely a changed man, you know, because it was like, you know, my mind was going all over, you know, like what the hell has happened? You know, like we have done this and still. So, and she, I remember she used to always say that, remember what success gets you and it's not what it makes you. It's otherwise, whatever success, what makes you doesn't what gets you, and it's made you a better person. It's made you a more humble person. It's made you look inside. So I think the project is good. Just carry on. So I think that's what made my journey start. And then, you know, of course, then we you know, India's our whole religion, you know, which you're talking of, part of it is about inner peace. That it's very simple. It's a very simple religion. Well, it's a philosophy of life.
I think we should go a little bit on that because it's such an important word. It's such a powerful statement today that your religion is all about peace. So could you develop on that for a moment and relate it to my artistic piece you gave me, and as well the picture behind you, because you want to escape from the symbol of the mother.
Yeah. So there are two very different symbols, what you're talking here. See, it's basically about, you know, our philosophy of life. I don't even want to call it religion, because I think religion to me has become a bad word in time to come. It's a philosophy of living a good life. You know, there is no mantras in our books. There are no, you know, like typical like Indian thing, there are no Vedic chants that, you know, it's just about, you know, what you have to realize inside. So what you have is what we call is like a bull, you know, which was like one of the biggest fighters. It's like, and the bull was a symbol that Nandi, as we call it. So it is always, there are three forces, right? There are three forces in the world, which is your creator, your preserver, and destroyer, which is like what life is, right? Whatever, like look at pine plants, right? Correct. Sure. Everything comes from earth, everything goes back into earth. So it's simple as that. That every living organism, everything around us, that's what it is. You know, it's finite and infinite. So it's creation, preservation, destruction. And one of the, you know, the gods of destruction, evil, which is also again everything in India, unfortunately, in a very, you know, humanistic way, everything in India has a double meaning. So all what we say, everything in India. So it was about the destruction also means like destroying everything. It was destroying your own inner evil. So how do you destroy your inner evil? It's first you have to enlighten your consciousness. How do you enlighten your consciousness? It's through meditation. How do you get to meditate without being disturbed is what this bull represents. That when, so always the god of destroying evil used to be sitting in front of this bull, and the bull's job was with its nostrils, because it was so strong and powerful, is that, you know, so that there is no noise and nothing, so serenity, the little blows of the nose and facing the bull helped him meditate. So that's why, so for me, I knew that, you know, and also the journey, John Charles, is always for you to find. So if you remember, it was your own inclination, you know, about, you know, your knowledge, which is way deeper than me on lunar and, you know, how you follow biodynamic in your vineyards, is I got to know, okay, so you are interested. So that's the reason I couldn't think of anything but to give you this, because, so this is kind of our way to help you get into the journey which you're already on, which is to meditate. So by looking at them, serenity, block everything else around, just concentrate on them. So that's it. So every time there is, if you come to the temples, the, you know, the statue of destroying the evil will always be facing the Nandi, which you have.
I love it.
So in a way, we have christened you as Shiva, the Lord Shiva, the, you know, the Lord of destroying evil. That's what you are.
Well, I think what you are is really a creator as well. And I really believe you imagine and then you create and then you continue to preserve for the next generation. So I feel is a very good time, Kapil, to try the fabulous J-Noon.
Fabulous, yes.
As everybody will see, this is this unbelievable bottle of wine that has that antique green with, in gold, J-Noon. And I would like for you, Kapil, to explain, you know, the meaning of J-Noon and what it represents, because I really believe everybody has it inside somewhere and everybody needs to have it out. And I think there's no better time to have you on our JCB Live because of your wisdom, your knowledge, and your sense. of deep enlightenment for everyone else. So cheers, Kapil. On the Genuine White from India and the Genuine Chardonnay Sauvignon Blanc. So tell us about the name and, you know, the wine.
Well, the name is a joint creation. So name, in literal sense, name means borderline madness. I think in our own self, we both carry. I think that's what connected. I think it's, and I think you're being humble, but I think it's also your openness. And I think your mantra is more than, you know, mine, which is that always try, you know, never have a regret. So Junoon is about that, you know, like you so rightly, I think that's a great thing you pointed, that ignite that something in you. So it's what in a slang we call the mojo, in the Japanese language we call the ikigai, you know, what gets you out of the bed. So Junoon is that find yourself, find that spot.
In bed too, you know, I'm like Austin Powers, I still have not lost my mojo.
Because of me.
You see how I pretend I've been today, right?
So Junoon is that. Junoon is fine. That it's basically passion. It is about, you know, being positive, being confident. I think you're so right. In the current times that the whole world is living, I think we cannot give that up. We cannot let the spirit destroy. So that's your infinite spirit. That's what Junoon is. That, you know, it's a simple thing, right? You know, there's a famous quote that I've got now, right now, framed in my front office, that nobody can, you know, destroy an iron but its own rust. So, and nobody can destroy a human being but its own mindset. So your mindset has to be positive. That's it. And that's infinite. So that's what Junoon stands. And I think that's what the bottle is to come in. And it's about, and that's what we've done, right? Chardonnay and Sauvignon. How many blends do you know? You know, Chardonnay and Sauvignon means, really.
So it's actually an important segue to explain to everybody that typically Chardonnay lives on its own. The only time it's actually blended, it's with champagne. With Pinot Noir or Pinot Meunier, often it lives on its own. When you think about Burgundy, it's Chardonnay on its own. You think about a few other world regions that you could eventually blend it. But what was so exciting, if you ever go and see the beautiful estate, and Kapil, in a moment, you need to tell us where it is. We blended here together with Kapil all night and his amazing winemaking team, the two phenomenal grape varieties. Chardonnay, the queen of Burgundy, the essence of the Russian River, you know, the cool climate. And we associated it with Sauvignon Blanc. And if you think France for a moment, you think the Loire Valley, the Valley of the King. So you really build the queen of Burgundy, the only there is to shine, Chardonnay, with Sauvignon Blanc. So when we all love food, Kapil, when we thought that evening after eating and drinking and drinking and eating, we said to ourselves, we need as well to have something that goes amazingly with food. And I really believe that was achieved thanks to those two great varieties. But tell me, Kapil, tell us about, you know, those great varieties and how it works magically with Indian food, and give us as well a sense of geography of where the estate is.
So the estate, let's start with that. So estate is, southeast of Bombay, which is 330 kilometers inside the trench line. And it's the start of one of the largest plateaus in the world, which is the Deccan Plateau. So cosmically, millions of years back, you know, we were all part of the Australia, the big thing. And then, you know, then the cosmic, you know, the evolution happened and the Himalayas came about. So it still sits on the similar kind of the altitude as most of the European vineyards. What I've been told is like about 600 meters, about 400 meters to about 600 meters. That's what the soil is, very volcanic, very, very dry, a lot of minerality, a lot of heat, which has been done. So I think for us, it was why we did that also, because typically where the Indian wines were coming from was actually a region which is triangle, which is like you can say, you know, northeast to Bombay, which is more known for the grapes, which was more richer soil, so easier to make the wines. But whereas this was it's a very dry, arid area. But our whole idea was to bring in the minerality, the terroir that you can taste. So that's why we chose this area. It's actually a rain shadow area. And we love the fact that when we went to the government, you know, they laughed at us. They said, yeah, you know, please go and buy the land. And, you know, like they said, that, you know, because it's a cattle grazing land. You know, that, you know, that's so that in our government record is a wasteland. You know, that basically it's good for nothing. So we said, great. So then you don't mind us buying it. You know, we went to the farmers, landowners, as I call them. I said, because you don't have, you know, they're not farmers. The poor fellows are just stuck with the land. There's no irrigation inside. So we, you know, pieced in that land. We took a lot of time because we obviously needed to do a lot of research on soil. We weren't happy even with the kind of results which we were getting from the Indian laboratories. So a lot of times soils were actually went to, you know, Europe to get it tested for basic, you know, layers of calcium carbonates and everything. But we were pretty confident that, you know, we should be able to get a high quality wine, low yielding, high quality. But we were okay with that because the whole idea was the quality. That's how this came about. So in terms of where it is located, it's 5 hours drive from Bombay. Or if you're in Pune, then 3 hours drive and then you're there. You're in the oasis.
You know, Kapil, for everyone, you need to go to India. One of the most amazing places spiritually, intellectually. The vision of India from the beginning of time to today has influenced all of us so much, with knowing and without knowing. And you got to go to this town in Pune, which is only 12 million inhabitants. So it's not necessarily a small town. And then you drive away and you arrive to this magnificent estate, Kapil, that you built from scratch.
Well, yeah, well, God created it. We were just the hands of the God, as we say, you know. It's his doing, it's agriculture. You know, we can't control anything. So, yeah. But thank you for that.
Well, Kapil, tell us, you know, what drives you? What really motivates you in the morning? Because a lot of all of us look for, you know, great influence, great ideas, great inspiration. And you are a very driven individual, not only for business, but for more. So give us what is inside.
I don't know. I think it's just the way I've started looking at life after the wine business that, you know, if you get up in the morning and always just, you know, say, okay, you're thankful for the bed. You're thankful for, you know, like all the comforts around you. And I think there's a purpose that it's about time that you do something that you enjoy, but which is bigger purpose than just being selfish of trying to hold in. I think that's, and then the creativity, I love that. And sometimes I think not as much as, sorry?
Forgive me to interrupt. What's your greater purpose? Not only by doing this venture, but in general? Because
very good question. So I've been asking that, in, you know, and we've had many discussions on that, and that's the reason, you know, we are both on the book that, you know, we you know, keep discussing about. And I think that's what I keep asking. That's what I keep asking of power up there. That, okay, what is my purpose? You know, why did you expose me to so much? You know, because expose means that I think it's about the life, the paradigm that I've seen. I've seen the life from, you know, understanding that my grandparents and my, you know, had to leave everything, pack their bags, move into a new country. You know, everything was a novelty. You know, nothing was taken for granted. I remember the days my great-grandfather is standing outside the house waiting for me to come back from school with a peeled orange because it's very hot. Even getting a refrigerator in the house was great now. You know, even getting a color television in the house was fantastic. Even from watching one Spider-Man cartoon as a kid to then being exposed to 100 channels by the time I got to college. So, you know, if you don't realize the change and you don't understand and embrace it and try to do something with it, then I think it's each to their own. But to me, it was all that okay, there is a reason. You know, we have to do things. We have to put India back on the world map. You know, it's got so much to give, like you say. And I'm talking in terms of the world, you know, the spirituality, the inner peace, you know, the microclimates, the terroirs, you know, the patience of the people. Means with all respect, you know, we have had, you know, problems of migrants, as we all have heard, but no violence. You know, people are patient. You know, they understand, they embrace. So it was that. So for my purpose was that in the same book that we all, you know, we want to follow, is, so it's basically purpose is that your first purpose should be all your actions should be good for the family. And when I say family, family means to me an extended family, which is your business family, which is your family in the house and the family in the work. So whatever you do, should the purpose should be that, are you doing something which benefits all of them? I think once you've done that, the second tick mark is, are you doing something which is good for the community? You know, that's the second phase that you get to. Once you've ticked that, then is that, are you doing something which is good for the country? You know, then that's the third tick. Then the fourth is that, or are you doing something which is good for the planet? Because ultimately we're all one. So to me, as long as there is tick one, tick two, tick three, tick four, I'll just do it.
That's brilliant. Ooh la la, Kapil. A lot of meaning into this. You know, my beautiful cashmere jacket that you offered me is giving me some extraordinary signals of heat and excitement. Why? Because you're talking about the meaning of life, which is so phenomenal. And, you know, on that note, Kapil, you offered me, and we spend, for many friends who are with us a lot on the JCB Live as well as social media and who know me, I've spent the best trip of my life with my lovely wife, Gina, and our daughters, thanks to Pooja, yourself, and of course your children. And we had the most exceptional days away from what we knew, which was India. And you crafted the most amazing trip. And at some stage, we need to take a lot of our wine lovers to India.
Sure.
But you offered me something of an enormous meaning, besides all the kindness, the hospitality, the friendship, and the enlightenment you gave me personally through all our phenomenal evening discussions, morning, breakfast, and everything else. This is something which we should advise to the world. I would love for you to talk about it.
Well, it has to be sought, not bought.
Everybody, you've offered me the whole collection because there's 17 of those. 18.
18, yeah.
18. So can you explain what that is?
I think so, you know, why I even offered, if you said in gifted, I offered because the book, which is a philosophy of life, which is what that is, if you read it, which is the English, which is what even I read it. So, you know, because I don't understand Hindi or Sanskrit or whatever. So that's a new India. And it's a philosophy of life. It's just the way of living a better life. And that's why it's divided. Like, so everything in India is somehow that God had everything, like I said, has got very deeper meaning. So I think there was a lovely word that when God made human beings, he made it with more compassion than justice. Because if he believed in justice, we'll all be dead by then. You know, because it's a compassion, you know, it's his love for us. Yeah. So the book really starts that, you know, you are at the last stage of evolution to be born as a human. So first of all, respect that you are born as a human itself as a gift of God. So you should respect that. And I think the second thing is that it's the first time that God created something which is supposed to be lived in companionship. So that's why the 18, because there are 9, you know, ways to penetrate your inner self, you know, which is 2 nostrils, you know, let's go on and, you know, everybody can figure it out on their own. But so 9 to 2 is like 18. So, you know, find your companionship. And then the book is like part of your companion to lead you through the journey of living a better life. And one of the chapters, the 7th chapter, what you're talking about is knowledge and wisdom. So, which is, again, if you read through it, again, if you notice that in a lot of people, like, unfortunately, and I say unfortunately, because in India also, that they think that, okay, Gita is something which is going to be very, very polite and everything, but it's very direct. It clearly says that, okay, you know, if this is the path you want to lead to, then these are the sacrifices or, you know, steadfastness, your resolute, your, you know, your self-control, all that. So knowledge and wisdom is, again, it's something to be sought, not bought. So it's not like you can go to the book and your knowledge and your wise. I think it's to live by the principles which that chapter will teach you.
And I love how you read it because you showed me one of your copy and you underline and go back to it. And this is really what I've done. My favorite, maybe because it's the shortest and I could have a short attention span, is chapter 15, which really summarized the Supreme Spirit.
Yeah.
And Kapil, I'm a very big fan of this, in a compendium of 60 pages that brings the entire Vedanta in its verses, philosophy, into one. And
yes.
I think this one is the one I would take with me everywhere and keep reflecting on.
100%. So I just finished that last week, but yeah, you're right. So that's what tells you that, you know, there is your oneness, everybody's one. So, you know, that's what it says, the spirit in all of us. So it's like the electricity, right? The same electricity can light a bulb, can, you know, light a television. So it's the electricity all around us is all one. It's the individual bodies, which, and that's a gift of God, which is life, which is the breath. You know, so that's why there's a lot of meditation in our yoga, which is breathing. So because the main breath, the simple breath in each organism is still the time you're living. And that's a gift of the power up there. You know, like the minute it's gone, you're cold. You know, and that's just imagine scientifically also that nobody's been able to prove. So everybody knows, okay, heart pumps. But even scientifically so far, nobody's proven, okay, where does a heartbeat come from? And scientists have given, oh, it's a misinterpretation of the, you know, the algorithm which your heart pumps erratically. But so far, what I've read in the book that nobody's been able to prove, okay, you can prove everything else, but where does a heartbeat come from? And that's what Supreme Spirit combines and tells you from, that there are certain phenomena still not explained by science.
Well, as JC could tell you, the only thing that keeps my heart going is Jainun Red.
Yes.
So I think this is a perfect segue to talk about really what gets your heart going. But thank you, Kapil, for all those great, phenomenal moments of enlightenment, because we never spend enough time to reflect on ourselves, on the further spirits, on what influences us, and how we want to influence what is given to us. And I feel you a supreme example. This is really why I wanted all our friends in the world to meet you and obviously to be able to discuss with you and think about what you've said, because again, your wisdom always so much impresses me, to the point that your entrepreneurship and craziness too, because cheers. I know you love Crystal, and I cannot not tell you that Baccarat, thanks to India in the early 19th century, became even a greater phenomenal company ever before. You know, the first ever crystal maker of France that really brought crystal all over the world. We had Saint-Louis crystal, but then we had Baccarat in 1764, and a lot of the key Maharaja of India, you know, added their touch. And you may remember the ruby among any chandelier. It's thanks to India, because a Maharaja was offered a beautiful chandelier and he said, I love it, but I need precious stone on it. It cannot just be clear crystal. You know, and he added that beautiful piece. So, Kapil, in all this wisdom, you were crazy to actually plant those phenomenal red grapes in India. And I think for everybody listening, they need to realize we have a lot of other great friends, of course, in India that have done wonderful, fantastic estates. You've been going beyond everybody else. Your vision was luxury. Your vision was going beyond the boundaries and making a wine to be highly ranked on the international stage, to be part of the finest table of celebration around the world. So tell us about the Jainun Red and what was created here, because I think this is a major statement and what people would never imagine could happen in India.
So for me, Jainun Red is the spirit that you talked about. So whenever I'm in doubt, whenever I'm, you know, that am I crazy? You know, that's a self-doubt question which we all must have. I just open the bottle of this lovely wine that you created, and I pour it in a glass, and I take a couple of sips, and that spirit, that craziness comes back, that we have to keep going. I think it's all, this wine to me is for everybody out there who has a question mark sometimes, that whether I'll get there, whether we can do it. You know, open this bottle, it'll bring out the possibility, because it is just something that we've all created. It's the underdog. You know, I was just sitting there and you said, okay, what do you think of that? You know, the first thing that comes to my mind is, of course, it's bold. It's confident, not arrogant, but it's confident that I can live up to anybody's expectations. It's got self-discipline. It's very structured. You know, it's got all that nice complexity which comes in. But it's also get that little bit of madness, you know, and I don't know why, but, you know, I can't take this thought out of my head today. So, you know, I don't know, there was this crazy movie where a Jamaican team, you know, won the cannonball run. You know, it was like the sledgehammer. And a team from Jamaica, you know, won that. So to me, it is that. It is about that mindset. It is about the positivity that as long as, you know, there's a beautiful word of our, like a slogan I came across of Mahatma Gandhi, you know, the father of a nation. And he says that as long as I have a belief that I can do it, I will find my way along to know how to do it. you know? And I think that's what this is.
And that shows to everyone with us today that everything is possible. You set your mind to it and you do it. So Kapil, tell us the blend, because this is amazing. Many people don't think that those noble, aristocratic, grape variety can grow in India. So give us the combination, the composition, the melody of Jenoon.
Well, it's your crazy blend, or I think it's 2017, which I'm sure you have there, which is Cabernet Sauvignon, you know, Cabernet Franc, then it's got Petit Verdot. And now, of course, with your inputs, Marsala has been fermented separately from 2018 onwards, but this also has a 4% of Sangiovese. So now, how many blends can you think of, you know, when you made it? He says, okay, you know, that's what we're going to do. So we've got Cabernet Sauvignon, we've got Sangiovese, we've got Cabernet Franc, we've got Petit Verdot. So it's predominantly a Cabernet Sauvignon. I think it's more than 58% of Cabernet Sauvignon, but then it's being led by, you know, nicely with Petit Verdot and Cabernet Franc and just 4% of Sangiovese. That's what the blend is. I think I think when you tasted it, when you made it, in your mind, which you know better than me, I think where you put it was that it reminds you of something from Right Bank or Bordeaux. I think that's what you wanted to create. So a nice culmination from a Napa blend to a French Bordeaux blend is, I think, what I remember you...
With a little bit of an Italian touch. And the but which is great is we created this together, we. And talking about we, Kapil, I have very few questions. Although, as you know, we've spoken together for 15 hours straight without sleeping. We have so much, you know, friendship and brotherhood together. You have an amazing family, as you've discussed, grandparents, parents. You have a lady in your life that I adore. She is insanely fabulous. She has a great influence on you, and her name is Pooja. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your incredible wife and how she contributes to your life and to you as a person and made you who you are today?
So, you know, I think since you have your viewers, and I think what shocks the people most, and I think that's what they have to understand, maybe my craziness and her craziness is, that coming from completely very, very open-minded backgrounds, so that there's no different connotation in India, very liberated mindsets, both our parents. She's, you know, spent a lot of time abroad. I have studied abroad, came back, and actually our parents, you know, tried to put us together because they thought that we can both connect. And they actually said that you should go out.
Your parents eventually organized you to meet.
Yes. So I think since your audience, I'm sure, is going to be bobsmacked more than the wine than the story, is this, that we both decided to get married in 45 minutes. So in one meal, over a meal, on a bottle of wine, maybe it was a wine, and I was sitting down because I was much heavier. So maybe I got her enamored with little intoxication, never harms. So we both decided to get married in 45 minutes, one evening. And that's the leap of faith. So I have faith in your fate. We both connected on, you know, we said, okay. So it was, I think both of us, even though we believed that it was a decision made in, you know, hurry, but no, I think it was a decision made in a good, you know, calculated judgment, that we both realize that on a macro level, we both stand for the same values, and then we will both grow along. So she was 25, I was 25, she was 23. So we've really grown up together. You know, we have, you know, scrupulously, well, she more than, you know, me than her. So we both literally change each other's life, likes, dislikes.
When it tells you, when you know, you know. 45 minutes later, less than an hour, you decided. You asked, did you go on your knee, or how did that happen?
Well, she's going to kill me. But it was like, see, I started working from the age of 20. I finished my graduation and I was in business. So for me, at the age of 25, I think it was everything was work around me. And so for me, it was completely unromantic. I think I've changed since then. So I literally said that, okay, you know, I'm laying my cards on the table. And so my work means everything to me. And it was clear. It was no going down on the knees. It was no romantic, nothing. It was just simple, pure fact of her life.
So what has been her greatest influence on you as the amazing Kapil we know today?
You know, I tell you, the greatest influence, and I was telling her last week, is that she's not, and I say it with all humility and humbleness, she's not a typical Indian wife who's going to spoil you. She is like your partner, your companion. But if she gets to know that you're slipping, she's going to be there in a good way to make sure that you know that you slip, you know. So, and I like that. I love that. I need that, you know, because sometimes when you're overly critical, you know, you can go over, you can go mad. So I think she's that guiding principle. You know, she knows when to let me loose and when to rein me in. So I think that's been a bit...
Together make so much one. And having spent so much time with the both of you, it's marvelous to observe that in 45 minutes, you know, Faye, do you actually believe in destiny?
Well, okay, so I'm not superstitious. I don't believe in, trying to do things to get somewhere. I think you should do things just with good intent and good purpose. And wherever it gets you, it gets you.
So do you believe in fate?
In what way we will fate? If we say that, okay, fate in a way that you judge it, when you get there, no. But I believe that, I think as long as your intentions are clear, it should get you where it gets you. And then if it doesn't get you where you wanted to get you, then, you know, just let's change the track. So, of course, but there is like how I met you, you know, and what you said, and it's all about me, but I think people should know that. So, and I was laughing, by the way, just last week, I was telling my people, so remember when you come to India and you started talking about lunar and biodynamics and how you're influenced by in the agriculture about the moon power and everybody living in India, you know, used to like journalists, remember, like John Charles, this is it. JC, what are you talking about? And that's what the philosophy of life says. It's about the moon energy, which is influences agriculture. So I think you yourself are in a much, much higher level. I think people should know that. And I think that's what the whole world is. But I think it's about finding your inner self and doing what you like doing.
And it seems, not that it seems you have, but you did find your inner self. So Kapil, I have to ask you the question. What is truly your unlimited passion and dream that you have not yet achieved?
For me, John Charles, I've taken a lot of inspiration from you. And I know, and I say that, I think with your kind of creativity, of your zest to keep going and being excited about everything you do. So for me, I think that's been a big, big also learning. Because as you can understand, right? So we've had enough conversations. Even I was self-doubting, confused when we met that, okay, we have got all this, but why aren't people taking this thing seriously? Why still people think? So for me now, that's the whole thing, is that I just want to keep creating. I think there are few people who have the imagination. I can't match yours, but in my own way. So for me, my biggest thing is that as long as my mind is working, as long as, you know, I don't go cuckoo and I forget everything I'm doing, is that I have to just keep creating. I love creating.
I love it.
It's beautiful. You know, planet we live in, beautiful energies we have around us. I think it's just so nice to just create things.
And you have such a fertile, limitless imagination that I cannot wait to continue to see what you're creating, because I witness it. And I encourage everybody not only to go to India, but if they want to come and visit with you, that they let us know so they get a very personal touch. You know, you're not the Dalai Lama, but you're much more to me, because you have this wiseness, knowledge, sense of entrepreneurship, and as well craziness and wildness, as we know, that makes you the incredible person you are. Now, Kapil, last question of the night, as I'm having another sip of Jenoon, is there a secret that you wish to share that you never told me? Or maybe Pooja does not even know, your parents, your grandparents, your children. We got to go deeper within this fabulous soul that you are.
Yeah, but you know, it's really not, because I think Pooja knows almost everything about me. I think because all our memories are together. But I think there's no such secret, really, honestly. I've been thinking about it, you know, and I would love to share, but I don't know.
Is there maybe something you want to share that is going to transform or continue to transform who you are and who is your family?
Well, I think the only transformation from my case is that I think I can say that don't give in, never give up. You know, it's all your mindset. And I say it with examples. I say it with the, you know, personal experience, you know, every time we've been in a doubt, this is a crazy venture. What we did was a crazy venture. It means it doesn't make any sense on paper. You know it, I know it, and it's the trust that people put in you. But all along the way, when you're in doubt, then there is something which comes along your way. Like you have come along the way as one of our messiahs, changed the direction of Fratelli. So as long as your intents are good, I really don't know any secret that I can share. I think I've lived a great life. That's it. That's my problem right now. I think it's so beautiful.
Well, exactly. Life is so beautiful. And I love what you just said. Following the path, continue to create, continue to encourage your imagination. And what I admire the most with you, beyond all the word of wisdom you so kindly shared tonight and all the enlightenment, is you put your dream into action. And this is really something I would love all our friends today who are with us, celebrating India, celebrating great wine, celebrating the impossible, celebrating the non-obvious, because you've created, Kapil, the non-obvious of a country that we did not imagine could create such great wines, and you are doing it. So I think one of the night moments we should all live with is, to follow our dreams, to follow.
Absolutely.
Right? And I want to this to the incredible Pooja, to your family, parents, and all the generation of the Sekri who are the best and showing a new vision to India.
Well, thanks to you, John Charles. You're much more and beyond. So I think you've been very humble. It's my turn to speak, yours to ask, but truly to you, for believing in us, for trusting what we do, and to our friendship. That's more than anything.
And dear friends, I would echo that the most important thing we have when everything is gone is friendship. So Kapil, to friendship, who said when we were born that a Frenchman living in America would meet a great Indian man who lived in Europe and we would create wine together? Who is to say, and this has happened? I want to thank you for all that. My Maharaja, I want to thank your history, your culture, and the wiseness of all your religion and gods to bring peace and obviously the celebrations of ones into the world.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.